You're on. You are on.
We will reconvene the Board of Equalization for July 8, 2026 at 1 o'clock. The Open Meetings Act is still on the wall to my left. We will be hearing property valuation protests today. We'll just go down in order. There's a sign-up sheet outside on the wall, or on the table, just outside the door. We will allow 3 minutes for presentation on each piece of property. We might have questions for you after that, and then we'll hear from the referees to see how they came up with valuations. Do we have anyone from MIPS here?
Jen just wanted to check. I'm not for sure where they're
at. Might be in luck if there's no counter from the assessor's office side. It looks like we'll have a lot of successes here today. Just going down the list, we'll start. As you come up, please give your name and address for the record. Jen, if you could hit the record button or the broadcast button on that.
The speaker button.
Speaker button on.
Voice thing.
Right. Yeah. There you go. As you come up, if you give your name and address for the record, we'll take that, and then I will swear you in. Let's begin with Brad Dusenberry.
Hi.
Hello, sir.
Brad Dusenberry, 1505 Lakeshore, Beatrice.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
All right. Which property are we talking about?
We're talking about Outlot A, right behind the dam and the access behind Lake Ladue.
Where's
number 43?
Just, wait,
yeah,
here we go.
Well, and just on Outlot A.
Well, we decided to
parcel on these all the time. Oh, I see. Yeah. There's another. That's the office building right north of Runs.
All right. This is. That's on here. Oh, here we go.
Looks like number 43.
43 on the change list. Right now, we have it listed as it was originally at 4935.
Recommended or requested.
Boy, these aren't very good. Requested value was $1,800. 26 value originally was $4,935, and the recommended at this time is $3,700.
Right. Yeah, I disagree with it, obviously. That's why I'm here. About 15 years ago, it came at the same time with Ron Fleece and Gary Barnard. Just for the same, they had raised it to like $30,000 because it was an automatic computer program at that time. This is just the scrub line behind the dam and then the access to get back to Lake Ladue. And it's been filled in too because they've dredged the lake before and put it back there with our blessings. It's unbuildable. I can't even build a doghouse there if I tried. So it's all in the floodplain. It's really basically more of a liability than it is to have as a piece of property. And when I was Ron and Gary heard it 15 years ago or so, we agreed just to the $1,800 valuation like we had been paying, and just keep it status quo. But obviously that's all changed with this new company, and they didn't get the memo. So that's why I'm. We agreed to the $1,800 because we've agreed to it for all this time.
Don's pulling that up on our screen right now.
And there should be a note in there, but I don't know what happened. Because it's been that way for, if you look back, a lot of years.
What size is that? How much?
Yes, right behind the dam.
Once the floodplain ground was seen as being 75 to
1,212
pounds.
But That floodplain, if you appeal to FEMA and all, then you can get a variance to do that. But anything right behind a dam, you cannot. You can't. It's 25 foot tall.
Yes, just a second as I get set up, Brad.
Sure.
Sorry. Is that a piece of property you're wanting to get rid of?
You know, actually, more we're trying to keep under control over it, just so that somebody doesn't come in and give everybody a hard time as far as trying to shut off the access to the lake and all. It's something my folks wanted to keep all these years. So it's more out of respect. It really does nothing for me, but it's just been there for 40-plus years.
Who owns that, the dam? Is that an association out
that
there?
The association. Actually, when my folks and all gave that to the association, the dam and the 15 acres of the lake, and then the cost when they had formed the association.
So that's just an access into the...
Yeah, it's an access for them to get to their boat ramp and then access to get back to it. And then there's actually a east-west, as you can see there, in between some houses, but that would really disturb those people. There's, you know, we have no intention of disturbing that, but it's still there and still, you know, owned by us technically.
Derek, how did you guys come to this valuation?
Well, first of all, while... kind of the primary complaint was that the value of $1,800 on this piece, the owner had indicated that was an agreement with the assessor for about the last 15 years. We're, and I'm not, you know, sure the details of that, but we're bound to value all property at market value each year, and that's the law, and so the definition of actual value, and we made an adjustment to the value to put it consistent with other non-buildable type properties, and that's how we came to that number. You know, I think it went from 49 to 32. That reflected a floodplain adjustment, but
32 or 37.
I usually see it the other way, where we're usually high on things. This seems ridiculously low to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll
write you a check for it right now.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
Looks like somebody's cutting it.
The grass, the agreement was with the association cuts it because they filled in all the dams so they didn't have to haul.
It's hard for me to go lower than the 3,700 when we've listened to floodplains. They're at 7,500 to 12,000 for primary one and two.
The primary reason you stayed at 3,700 was because of prior agreement?
No. We disregarded the prior agreement. It was the owner's stated reason for the protest, that it should stay at 1,800 because of an agreement. We couldn't consider anything like that, so we just valued it according to the valuation model that had been established for the other properties. But what we had identified is that we had not categorized it properly as floodplain, and so the adjustment that was made to the value reflected that 40% reduction. It being in the 100-year floodplain.
So it doubled, basically. You were paying $22 a year, and from 18 to 37, so then you're paying $45 a year in taxes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What can we use for another valuation behind a dam that a piece of property has sold in the last 50 years in Gage County?
That's a very good question.
How much did you pay for the property? $1,800?
It was all part of a 50-acre parcel and then developed.
Okay.
Have you been there? Have you seen it?
I'm aware of it on the map, and I'm generally familiar with the area.
So were your parents the developers, and then that was left over? Is that what you're getting?
Basically, that was it. But it was an outlot. There were several different outlots.
It's not like you can build on it. It's not like you can build up.
There's nothing we can do with it, basically, other than mow it.
I can see where you say it's a liability. I mean, something like that makes sense to be part of the association or something out there. It's odd that it's...
It was, but at the time, the association didn't want it because we're back to the, you know, what do you do with it type deal. And so we remained in control over it during that time. So our whole thing is we don't mind keeping it, and then status quo stays fine. Everybody's happy, you know, lives great every after. My whole thing is how do you evaluate it? Because you got to do land prior. It's just not vacant lot. There's nothing you can do.
I mean, that's got to be close to wasteland valuation.
Yeah. I've got a picture of it if you want to see it. But it's sloping down because they dredged the lake once,
put
the extra dirt back on outlot A. And so that's where it is. But if I went down and tried to get a building permit to put up a shed for a lawnmower,
right,
can't do it.
And we have it categorized as non-buildable and in the floodplain.
But how do you get $3,700 for evaluation?
That's basically adjusting. It puts 25% non-buildable.
25%?
Yeah.
It's a whole... It's a lot more.
From a base lot value, the methodology, and again, I think you've highlighted that there's not a comparable sale of this,
exactly.
Right? And so, but what we have done is valued it based on a base lot for that area, adjusted 60% for the floodplain, 25% for non-buildable, and we've valued it based on the acre model at 7.5% of what the acre model suggests parcels are worth.
What does 0.75% mean?
75% of what the base... It's 7.5% of what the base lot value is in that acre model. And that reflects a floodplain adjustment, non-buildable, and then another adjustment for limited use and utility. And that's just based on... as based on the methodology that we've used for similar lots. If, you know, we could probably argue all day if it's worth 300 or 3,000 or 4,000, and there's not solid information, but what this is a standardized method to establish the value that's been used on similar lots.
But basically, there's nothing to compare to it, right. So they're making an estimation.
What would your offer be? You're in the building.
I don't know. That's kind of a cool spot down there.
It's, yeah, but you can't do anything with it.
3.5 acres. Is that what it is? 3.45 acres.
Okay.
Did you
say I'd probably put a toll on each end and charge a small fee to enter that boat ramp.
Good luck. You won't cover the taxes.
And how is it being... did you say that it had been... It's mowed or hayed or...
It's mowed.
Okay. Can it be hayed?
It might be. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you want to invest the alfalfa and plant it for 3 acres? Most farmers won't even walk across the street for
it. It's got good brome on it?
No. It's bluegrass.
Okay.
Remember, this property almost 90 years ago was a Beatrice Country Club. It's all...
Yeah.
Probably some golf.
It was the Beatrice Country Club way back when.
Right.
Yeah, but there's actually bluegrass there from that.
Standard lot in town, 150 by 50, say, floodplain. What's the valuation on a standard lot?
It would depend on an area, but after, with an appropriate adjustment, it would be, you know, say, $7,500 for that size of lot.
For this size of lot or the 150 by 50?
For that size, for that size. Yeah, right.
That's where I'm trying to, in floodplain, I'm knowing the valuation on floodplain lots. Like I say, I generally argue lower. I mean, I don't want to make you an offer here, but I would be interested in talking if you want to get rid of it. Well, you can't buy it. Well, you could, but...
I'm going to make a motion to accept the assessor's recommendation.
It's you don't need to make a motion because it's already on here this way. It's only if you make a change.
But I see your side, too. It's wasteland that you're not using. All it is burning fuel on the yard.
Pretty much.
I make a motion to accept the recommendation?
No, because it will be on this at the end. Yeah.
I'm just trying to...
Okay, yeah, so you just don't want to change it, then.
It's hard to when we had those people the other day, and they're paying $7,500 for a third of an acre in the floodplain. I mean, you're looking at 21,000 instead.
They're seeing something that I'm not.
Well, I'm going to agree with you on a lot of this.
That's tough thing is I see where you're coming from, too. You've got a couple accesses. You've got the liability. You've got everything else there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way it is. You're very fortunate to stay stagnant for 15 years. You know, look at that side of it.
Okay. I disagree.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't think you could even do that. You don't have...
Yeah, I think the toll road might go up. Come on over. We'll use your Although we don't do business that way.
With other wasteland where it is, or even ag wasteland, it doesn't appear to be overblown. It's obviously higher than where you were, though. But I'd have a tough one with that one, too.
Okay.
I want to go with you. It's just with that size, that's tough.
You may bring in some food trucks. We'll see.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
If you want to see what I can find, right?
See what?
Well, the ones that were in the floodplain that were sucker born every day.
Crawley?
This won't be my $7,500. Daryl, what was that lady's name the other day in the floodplain?
Tanya Malco.
Tanya. Steve Crawley.
Some of that stuff you can't use because it's wrong to start with.
Just as we're talking about this before Mr. Crawley starts, we do have, I did talk to the assessor's office. There was a house that they thought may be slightly out of whack that we saw. I did ask them to relook at that, and if they feel that that should be lowered, bring that back to us in our corrections, and we'll do that all at once. If we ever make an error on that, we want to make a correction however we can. Mr. Crawley, would you give your name and address for the record, please?
Steve Crawley, 3984 Post State Highway 8, Odell.
Please raise your right hand.
What's that?
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
And we'll be looking at... Do you know what parcel number?
Yeah, it's 0048-17000, section 17-1-6.
It's under no change.
Number 8.
Yeah, number 8.
And the 26 value that was originally recommended was $285.15. $285.15. Requested value $210,190. Please begin, sir.
What's that?
Please begin.
Well, last year the original land valuation was nothing happened to that land to improve it. This year they raised my house value by $64,535. Now, nothing happened to that house. We didn't improve anything. The siding is 36 years old. Josh was down the other day, and we walked around and looked at it, and I showed him the hail damage on my siding, on some of the fascia, on the gutters, the downspouts. Nothing happened to improve my house by $64,000. Actually, you know, like I was telling Josh, we got to now go out there, and we're going to have to do some sanding and painting and stuff like that to get that siding to where it doesn't, you know, keep deteriorating or whatever. Our carpet in the house is 36 years old. It's original carpeting yet. So I don't see where it's worth $64,500 more.
Do you have any comparable properties that you've brought along to show values of other pieces that are similar to yours?
No, really. I mean, I've got a neighbor down the road, Dave Bush, and their house is, I think, a year or two newer than mine. Theirs is $190,500. Now, Doug Klaus, he lives corner east of me, a little bit south. He's $160,000, and he has an older two-story house, but it's a very nice house. A lot of improvements been made on that. I just, like I said, I don't. When a hailstorm hits, it deteriorates my siding. It deteriorates my roof, my gutters. I mean, do I hope for next time we get baseball-sized hailstones that might be able to make it work more? You know?
Josh, is this one under you?
Yep. Yeah, like you said, I went...
Josh, could I get you to come up to the microphone here just so that we have you on the record, please?
Yeah, so I talked to Mr. Prawley, went out to his place, looked at it, just to verify the record was accurate. He's not arguing about the land or the outbuilding. It was just the house value. And like he said, the house is original to 1994. The problem I had with it was that it's a bi-level, so I only found two other sales in the county. One was up by Firth, so that's not going to be comparable. It sold for $288 a square foot. He's sitting at $126 a square foot. And then I found one other sale just east of town here, about 4 miles. It's a... It was a 1977 bi-level, so much older. And it brought $157 a square foot. So that's where I came up with my number.
The 157, what kind of condition is that house compared to this house?
Same, just average. Pretty much that, the one, it was built in 77, still has the original windows, original siding, newer roof, but, you know, he's replaced his roof as needed.
Interior of his, he said it's all original from the 90s, 36 years old. What kind of condition was the interior of that one? Do you have any idea?
The sale? I don't know. I haven't been inside it. And his is all original, but, I mean, he's taking good care of it.
We walked inside the front door. He can see that my carpeting is original and everything, but my wife, every day if she has to.
It's been well maintained.
Your comparable is 157 a square foot?
Yeah, and he's at 126. Like I said, that first one is not... wouldn't be comparable just for the location.
Thoughts? Are you thinking or looking, Rex?
We're looking. And he's way down south. He's right off.
Mile and a half east of Odell.
Yeah, off that blacktop there.
How does valuation generally change south by Odell versus east of Beatrice?
I mean, I would assume this one east of Beatrice would be a little higher just for proximity to town and proximity to Lincoln.
But the house value is $146,000, correct? Is that what you have on that?
His house?
It's 210.
His is 210.
I read last year.
Yeah, 146, 455.
So total with the house, and he's got one pole building, and almost 16 acres, he's at 285. And I just feel that number, he could sell it for that. I'm not buying.
You feel what?
I said I feel at 285, I think with that much land, you could probably get that out of it. But I know you're not selling. But
well, and I need a building out there for lawnmowers and such like that. I can unclear my garage, but if I go out there and build a building, then... guess what happens? You know?
That's actually made me drag my feet.
I feel for you, Steve, but your house is worth that. I honestly feel that. Not your house, your whole place. Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking at is the place. You got a beautiful place, you got a beautiful location.
We take good care of it. Yes, we're proud of it. But, yes, but what good does it do me to take care of it whenever here it's like... shoving some more. I've been told that in the state of Iowa, if you keep, the better you keep your place, the less your taxes are.
Question. Looking at this, your valuation went up last year, but your taxes go down.
I don't.
I got a feeling that they went down last year. Your valuation may went up, but the levy might went down. Is that accurate?
I think it did, if I remember right.
So base isn't all bad if the levy follows it, you know. So
you may not be much different.
Yeah, you may not be much different with the increase. So
That's your concern, is the valuation is going to go up, so your taxes are going to follow in a lineal fashion?
Well, yeah, like I said, what happened to my house to make it worth $64,500 more? There ain't a bunch of little elves come overnight and redone a bunch of stuff.
The truthful answer is people are paying that much more for homes. It's good if you're selling. It doesn't affect you until you sell, other than your potential taxation goes up. But that's the thing, is trying to make it equal. It's not saying yours changed. It's saying homes like yours are selling for a higher price now.
Okay, but a scenario for him, what do you drive for a vehicle?
Depends on the day.
He drives a Subaru Forester, okay? So let's say people in his area start buying Maseratis and Mercedes and this and that, and then they come and they say, well, hey, your Subaru Forester is now worth $220,000. We're going to tax you accordingly. You're going to stand still for that? I'm not the one building these $650,000 houses. And then, you know, that makes mine worth more.
But, you know, when you talk about those $600,000 houses, you know, we're looking at sales compared to yours. So they're built in the 90s like yours and... You know what I mean? We're not comparing.
It'd be similar to farm ground, and that's a good example. Sometimes you may have paid $200 an acre for a farm generations ago. It still goes up in value whether you sell it or improve it or not. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or otherwise, but it's realistic at the same time. I kind of lean with Rex on this one. Your home and acreage is worth more than that, I think. You became $60,000 more wealthy this year, but doesn't do you any good if you're not selling.
You just wanted to hear that, didn't
you? Yeah, but if I decide to sell it, which I won't, but if I decide to sell it, then all of a sudden what happens? There's people with their hands out again. You owe some taxes, you know, so.
I wish I could disagree with you on that, but you're right. Do I hear any changes from the board? I don't think you have any traction with this today. If you choose to go beyond this and go to Turk, there is a form across the hall that you can pick up. And that's like an appeal process for this Board of Equalization. They can overturn any decision from the assessor or from the Board of Equalization. If you do go there, though, I would talk to the assessor's office and have a full array of comparables that state your property is overvalued compared to other similars, wherever they may be.
Okay.
We appreciate you coming in, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
See you. See you.
Ron Wagner.
I'm good.
So, Mr. Wagner, would you give your name and address for the record, please?
Ron Wagner, 41570 U.S. Highway 77, Wymore.
Would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
We are talking about 18.
Need a parcel number?
We've got it here. It's on our sheet. It's item 18, and the original 26 value is 274,685. Requested is 215,455, and our recommended today would be 264,255. Please begin, sir.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody's taxes are high. And I kind of agree with the prices on them, but the only thing is, I'm in a floodplain. And I don't know how many times my basement's been flooded. And just, you know, if somebody comes to buy it, they're going to have to pay flood insurance. And flood insurance is higher than anything else. So that's my complaint. You know, I think it should be lowered because of that. For, you know, if you want to sell it, somebody says, well, you got water in your basement and stuff like that. It makes it a little harder.
Question I have is, what's the acre of the house on? What's the value of that?
Is that for
reality?
I don't know,
because
my sheet don't.
For the
total? Yeah.
For the 11 acres?
No, just for the acre.
He's at the same site value as the rest of the county at $30,000 for that first acre.
Okay, so does that get compromised because it's in a floodplain like we did on the others with the 40% reduction?
I didn't make any adjustment for it because I wasn't sure.
The Derrick side, but yeah. Derrick, am I correct on that?
Yeah.
That there was a 40% reduction, it'd be on the 1 acre of the house.
Derrick, did that go across the entire floodplain on the properties you looked at? Was it a 40% reduction?
Yeah.
Or did you make an additional adjustment later?
No, it was 40% adjustment. That would have been, and that was observed from sales over the last 15 years. Weren't a lot of them, but sales over the last 15 years in Beatrice. And so that was within the city limits of Beatrice. How that would extend, you know, I wouldn't know.
I would think it'd have to be consistent. I mean, it's probably not the relief you want, but it should give you a 40% relief on the 1 acre of the $12,000.
Is the entire property in the floodplain?
It is. He brought a map and shows that his buildings are.
He said that entire property is in the floodplain, which would.
Could you show him that map?
But the ag, we don't consider the ag in the floodplain.
You guys want to see this?
Yeah. Did you want to see this?
No, I know where it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did not make an adjustment to the land just because I'm sure he's not the only one in the floodplain. And we didn't make any adjustments across the rural properties that are in the floodplain.
Mr. Wagner, can you build structures on your place still since you're in the floodplain?
Can I build them? I don't know. I don't need any more.
Do you know the answer to that? If he's in floodplain, he would not be able to build structures there, ag or otherwise.
But I don't know under today's world of the flood. I do not know that.
I don't think so, because I did have one other parcel who was in the floodplain, and he built a little cabin, but he was required to build the land up out of the elevation.
We just looked at a piece of property that was at $3,800.
Right. To me, if we're going to review some in the city because they're in the floodplain, I don't understand a home's a home no matter where it's at. And it doesn't give you much relief, but it would give you some anyway.
What difference would that be? What would be the difference?
The 30,000, 40% would be.
No, not 30. It's only the acre of the house is on.
That's 30,000.
For the what acre?
For the first acre.
I thought it was, when did that change?
Last year.
Okay.
It was 20 or 25, and I think we raised it to 30 last year.
I'm off on that.
So 40% of that would be $12,000. Yeah, 252. And if you guys do that, then I guess we'll have to make a note to make sure we apply that to all of the other rural properties that are in the floodplain.
That 11.26, do you see a reduction at all on that ground? If there's,
I don't on the ground, no. But on the whole, I don't know. If we're doing that in the city, I think it needs to be consistent. Home is a home no matter where it's at.
So would your recommendation be at 252?
Yes.
Even?
Yeah.
Motion by Adams to make a recommendation, 252,000 as the 26 value for parcel number 006244,000. Do I have a second? Second by Adams. Or, I'm sorry, Claybaugh. I guess we can continue discussing this briefly. That would reduce that an additional $12,255, bringing you to a reduction of approximately $22,000 from what the recommendation was prior.
Sounds pretty good to me.
So this is the value.
The value recommended is 252 even. This is acceptable to the owner. Motion by Adam, second by Claybaugh. Any other discussion? If not, please vote. Your thing's not on, I don't think.
Oh.
5 in favor. Motion carries. That valuation will be...
I'm sorry,
4 in favor. That valuation will be changed to $252,000.
Thank you.
Don, Jeanette, Parker. Jeanette Parker?
I'm Jeanette Parker, and I live at 608 Springville Circle.
Good afternoon.
Floyd Springs.
Would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. We are looking at, I'm looking real quick. The initial value was $366,790. The requested value is $288,948. Please begin.
Okay. I sent in paperwork that I had done, and I had found 4 properties within my area. And those 4 properties are a little bit larger than mine, yet they all have an assessed value lower than mine. And I looked up on the Gage County Assessor's website and pulled the data. And also, my house was built in 2002, and these other 4 properties were built in 2007, 2019, 2017, 2019. So my property is older to begin with. So based upon the fact that, number one, we got square footage differences, and also we have properties that are built after mine, I'd like to know how you can come up with the value on the, let's not talk about land for a minute, but just stay with the building, of $331,790 when you got a property that was built in 2019, and its assessed value on the dwelling is $312,350, and its total square footage is $3,148, and mine's $2,693.
What is the price per square foot on that other home?
The price per square foot I got on the 31, the one I just mentioned at 924 Meadow, I figured out it was 99.2, and my square footage was 122.9. These are all duplexes, that's what mine is.
Yours is valued at $122.90 a foot?
That's what I came up with, based upon your figure that my house was assessed at $331, and my square footage is $2,693.
Derek, is this one that you and Alice did?
Yeah, we looked at that in our referee meeting with the property owner. We went through the listing and verified that that the county's listing of your property for plumbing fixtures, basement finish, all of those things were correct. We took additional look to make sure it was in the right category for comparing to other properties, and we ensured it was in the correct category.
Can you speak a little louder?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We reviewed your property to make sure that the property detail was accurate, and then we reviewed your property again to make sure that it was right in the right category for the quality of construction and the current condition. And then based on that, we did additional review. We pulled sales from the area to see what those properties have sold for, to see if you were within a general range of what the other what other properties had been selling for. There were four properties that came up as comparable. And the first one is 709 Springview, and that is a property that was built a year after your property, but had a very similar, had the same fixture count. It had the same basement area, basement footage, and that property sold in the end of 24 for $340,000. And then another property at 814 Meadow Street, sold in 2024 as well for $325,000, and that's a newer property, but had no basement finish and a small basement area. But that was a part of the review. And
Excuse me, are these duplexes?
These are townhouse end units, and I believe yours is a townhouse end unit.
Yes, but we have threeplexes, fourplexes, and duplexes, and mine is a duplex, so you can't compare a duplex to a threeplex or a fourplex.
You own both units?
I'm sorry?
You own the entire building?
No, own half of it.
Okay. So in the county's classification, that would be considered a townhouse end unit. And so we have...
So it doesn't matter whether you have a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex.
Correct.
I didn't compare anything. I could come up with some more if I did that.
Yeah, so a duplex would be owned by the same unit. They're generally rental properties because the property owner owns the land for the whole building, and then they also own the building that's divided into two units. There's typically, in those arrangements, there's not always, but it's common for them to have one water service that's shared between the two units. In the case of the townhouse, you own the piece of land that your portion of the house sits on. In order for it to, we compared it to houses that were situated like yours. And we didn't compare it to duplexes because that market's different.
And some of the properties out at Flying Springs, they own the property just around the building, and some of the properties own the land further out into the area, like to the creek or what have you. You really can't, you're not comparing apples to apples, you're comparing apples to oranges.
Derek, you said townhouse end unit. Does that mean on a triplex, a center unit, or a fourplex, the center two units, those would be looked at differently than the end units where you're more on your, on the side?
Yeah, correct. The interior units generally sell less.
Does that answer that question? I thought that's what you were potentially getting at. On a triplex, the center unit goes for a lower value than the two outside ones. The two outside ones are more similar to a normal townhome or a...
Because you own more area on the outside. You could be in the middle of it, of a fourplex, and you don't own the outside.
That's why the value in the middle is lower.
So, you know, you can talk to me all day about sharing appraisals, what this property sold for and what that property sold for. Okay, I understand that. But what I don't get is what I pointed out here, where my property was assessed at $331,000, built in 2002, and my square footage is less, and you've got four other properties in the area that have larger square footage, and their value is lower than mine.
And those are duplexes?
And the builder was the same in Flowing Springs, and Mr. Goosen started the other development, so I understand the quality. All of the units are basically the same
and
in
those,
terms of
if I may, the properties that you're referencing are duplexes. That would be the difference. Your comparison has used duplexes. Our comparison has used townhouse end units because we feel that that is what yours by definition is.
But that's how your program is set up to accept that, isn't it?
We push the buttons in the program to make sure that similar properties are classified in the same way.
It's only as smart as the data that's input.
Derek, this 709 Springview, it's at 340. That was one of your comparables. Is that a similar? You said that was a similar footage to this property.
Yeah.
That's.
When was that sold?
That was
in 24. So that's a very recent sale. You said that's a similar one, and just looking at Flowing Springs, they're very similar properties. That one's at 340. I guess what constitutes this one being $26,000 more than that property?
What is your
comparable. I'm sorry. It was 709 Springview.
You got one on the market right now with Homestead Land across the street from me. It's a fourplex. It's on the end, and it's on the market for $349,000. It's got 1,200 square feet upstairs and 1,000 down.
So
the values are going up if you can sell them. But if you're going to live there and you don't intend to sell, you know, we're crippled.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
Yeah.
But if that's the way it is, there's nothing I can do about it. But I'm just pointing out to you what's fair is fair. If you're going to charge me or you're going to assess my unit at 331 built in 2002, then assess these others equivalently. And I'm not talking about what this property is sold for and what that property is sold for. It's right here.
Yeah, and unfortunately.
So you go talk to these people and up there to where mine is, and then maybe I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. No.
Derek, on the 340 and you're comparable, though, that one's 26,000 less than the one on the table. What is the difference between those two properties?
So the just kind of isolating that property, which is similar in square footage.
What's the address?
It is 709 Springview.
709 Springview Circle.
Yeah. And so.
Do you have a property name?
I don't. Just address. So that property, if I may finish. That property.
Because I know most of the people that live on.
Please go ahead.
That property sold for.
That's these guys. Okay.
That property sold for $340,000 in 2024, and the market has continued to go up since sales happened in 2024. While that property sold for $340,000, the assessed value on that property is $370,105, and so. If that property owner were to come in, they would say, why have you valued me at $370,105 when I paid $340 2 years ago? And we would answer that with, the market has continued to appreciate. Buyers and sellers have continued to pay more over that period of time. That property, similarly situated, sold for $340,000, is now assessed at $370,105. Your property, similarly situated, is valued at $368,795. There are other comparable sales that some are higher, some are lower than that number, but that seems to be the one that's we feel is the best reflection of market value for your property.
Once again, I'm not interested in that
evaluation. I understand.
Okay. Because you're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to assess me at $366,790 when I have found properties out there that are lower, and I don't understand. So are you going to fix these? Are you going to take a look at these? That would be my question.
If you have a list of properties that you think are similar that are well below yours, I would encourage you to give that list to the assessor's office, first of all, if there are errors. But if those are what they should be, just as those should come up, if those are the correct ones, yours should come down then. The ones you said are duplexes. Are you considering a duplex, like a rental duplex where someone owns both sides and rents those out?
No.
Or are you considering a duplex townhomes?
We're in a duplex and out at Flowing Springs, you own one half of it.
I think there might be a misinterpretation of terminology there. She's saying a duplex, meaning townhome still.
It's
just a different way of saying it.
Two units in a duplex, and of course, three and four.
It's just a terminology that she's using. She's saying there's other.
That's why you can't. I don't see how you can take a fourplex and judge it against a duplex because, as I say, there's more outside structure involved, and you got somebody living in the middle of a fourplex or inside the fourplex. Why should they pay more? I mean, they don't even have an outside structure.
The middle ones are valued differently than the outside two ends.
I would hope so. I haven't looked at that, but I would hope so.
Rex, Rick, Eddie.
And another question I have are the streets. When you evaluate the property, do you look at whether, if it's got gravel, is it given a lower estimation, or if it's got a...
Unfortunately, on gravel, they're much higher than on paving for some reason. That's a good argument. I would like to see that as well.
Because we, at Flowing Springs, we own the streets. The city doesn't own them. They don't maintain them. So we're responsible for that.
The association.
I'm curious to see. Anyway, so.
So the value is at 288,948?
That is the requested value is 288,948. The recommended value from the assessor's office is 366,790. The one that sold 2 years ago was at 340. That would be similar. Sounds like we will be hearing that one as well. That one is now at 370. 370 plus.
That's your property. Okay.
They're here.
Wishes to make a recommendation change, or if nothing, go with the 26 recommended value of 366,790. I don't see any action from the board, ma'am. If you would like to appeal this, there's a form across the hall to fill out, and that board of appeal is TURC. They can supersede the assessor's office.
Thank you, but I'm not going to go any further than this. I just wanted to understand what y'all were doing.
If you have additional questions...
You're going to leave my property the way it is, and right?
The way it is with the additional... I hate to say it, but the way it is with the increase of 366,790. If there are properties that you think are incorrect, either high or low, please give those over to the assessor's office so that they can use those. We just had a scenario where we had a bunch of properties. They're doing a large adjustment just because there are errors. This is a reassessment, so we're trying to make everything as right as possible. There will be hiccups along the way and corrections. So any information you can get to them, I know they would appreciate.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. Josh Simpson. John Simpson.
Yeah, that's me. John Simpson, 709 Springview Circle.
Would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Let's see here. What?
Yeah, it was a lot of discussion there last go around. I don't know if that's good or bad. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we bought our house in 2024, end of 2024, paid $340,000 for it, and our taxes went up from last year, $109,000 this year. So I wanted to look at some of the comparable sales in the last year or so, a little more than a year, and I'm going to start out at 802 Clearwater Circle, sold 5/22/2025 for $300,000. The assessment this year is $279,975, less than the sale price. 706 Clearwater, sold $3,725 for $335,000. Assessment this year is $321,000, a little over $321,000, less than the sale price. 702 Clearwater, sold $11,325 for $340,000. Assessment $300,000, $895,000, less than the sale price. 511 Springview, sold 6225, $295,000. Assessment, 2026, 271, 510, less than the sale price.
Say that one again, please, sir, the sale price and the assessed price.
Pardon me?
511 Springview, sale price and assessed price.
Sold for 295. Assessment value, 271, 510. 611 Springview Circle, sold 526, 2026, $222,250. Assessed value, $212,435. 613 Clearwater, sold 728.25 for $305,000. Assessed value, $274,500. 604 South 25th, sold for $214,500. On 11/22/24, the same day we bought our house. Assessed value, $213,875. 1409 Lakeshore. This is over on Lake Ladue. We tried to buy this house. We were under contract to buy it. It fell through. It sold for $360,000 on 1/3/2025, a little over a month after we bought our house. Assessed value, $328,075.
I share in your confusion of market value because
I'm not done.
I need a grasp.
711 Springview Circle. Sold 5 days after my house. It's next door. 11/27/24. Sold for $350,000. It's a middle unit. Assessment value, $300,660. It sold for $10,000 more than my house. We're valued at $370,110. Every one of those houses is assessed less than the sale value. Ours is the only one that went up. Ours went from, we bought it for $340,000, it's at $370,000. I haven't seen one place out there on Clearwater or Springview, sell for $370,000.
And yours is also an end unit?
It's the end unit.
I'm fine with it being below the assessed value or the sale value. Why are these individual ones that are before us today not below the sale values then?
I don't have all the information on all of those properties, but I think he's done a good job of identifying a trend in those. And without going through all of those to evaluate the comparability and that sort of thing, I don't have an answer for why those are consistent. They were valued with the same process and the same model. I can even see on the comparable sales that we have listed for your property that their assessments are under their sale price as well. Presumably, some of those were on your list. I'm just looking to see kind of quickly here if anything jumps out. We did an inspection on your property.
You sure did. Okay. That was you, right?
No, it wasn't me, but but I got the notes here.
Okay.
Made a couple of adjustments that were sort of corrected the listing, but didn't affect the value.
I guess I don't understand how all these others sold, and all they're all assessed less than what they sold for, but mine sold and assessed $30,000 more than what I paid for.
Right, right.
The middle unit sold for $10,000 more than mine, and it's listed at $70,000. Assessed less, $70,000 less than mine.
Right, right, right. Yeah, we generally don't see that with the middle units.
Well, we're seeing it today.
Yeah, yeah.
The last one as well, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion on number 18 and number 23. That we revert them back to the sale price being consistent with the neighborhood of properties that have been listed. That would be the John Simpson home and the Jeanette Parker home. to lower them to their existing sales prices, as we stated, the consistency of your information. So,
the sale price, I think, is at $340.
Yeah, I don't remember the actual numbers. So, and I don't remember the ads either.
Ms. Parker's, she hasn't purchased it in the same time, but they're very similar units.
I guess we can't go to her sale price because she didn't buy it earlier.
If those would go, you're saying take those both to 340?
Take them both to 340.
Just.
A
lot of really good information. That seems consistent with your other ones as well. Yeah, there's a.
Right.
I need more space.
So that's why it's very good to come up with comparables.
So, motion by Adams for parcel number 01161353, as well as adjusting parcel number 01161984, which we did previously, both to 340 to be consistent with the other properties discussed and brought up before us.
But the others are less than the sale price. They're all assessed less than the sale price, so I think mine should be assessed less than the sale price as well.
I don't understand how the market value, I've had this discussion with Derek, I do not understand how we can buy something that goes in lower than we paid for it. But I'm not going to move off the 340 because I think that's fair.
Well, isn't the standard like 95% to 100% of sale price? Isn't that what it's supposed to be assessed at?
92 to 100.
Okay, so if it's like 95, that'd be 325 or 324, somewhere in there. But anyway, I don't understand why mine should be assessed at the sale price when none of the others were.
Or we can delay this and review those to see if they should all go up. Well,
I think
we've done that before, too.
It's your motion.
You come below 340, or do you want to review of everything?
Well, that's not fair. It's not a fair question.
Well, you can also.
I mean, that's put me in a trick. What am I supposed to say? I mean, that's not right either.
Well, you have an opportunity to go to church. If you don't like where we end up here, you can take it.
I understand that, but so, explain.
I know he has a point.
And. And you know, our role is to make a recommendation to the board, so I'm overstepping now by saying something. But having been in this, I think the property owner makes a very good point, is that this is the classic equalization argument, and he's requesting to be at the same proportion of market value as the rest of them. Again, our role is to do what we do and make the recommendation, but I think in the theme of the classic equalization argument, he has demonstrated the percentage of market value that these properties are assessed at, and I hear him and agree with him. If he through his analysis he can come up with the percentage of market value that those properties are assessed at, I think it's fair to use the same percentage of market value on his, just from my experience in seeing seeing situations like this in the past.
Well, I will withdraw my motion, Chairman.
With the middle unit sold for $10,000 more than mine, it's assessed at $70,000 less than mine.
I just popped one of these in. It's 9% less. Seven percent. At 9% under purchase price, it would be at 312.8. Just for general information, that would be at 92%. That would be 8% under purchase price.
Deal.
Ms. Hatchby just went through here. He gave us a listing of a bunch of sale prices. That's where Derek said, in the sense of equalization, these are other similar units. In that area, it's a little bit easier because the units are very similar compared to other homes. I mean, you guys are in a situation where you're very similar. But I would say at 92% of purchase price, it's $312,800. Purchase price is, of course, $340,000.
How many times have we heard we don't chase sale prices?
I was just about to say that. I pushed my button even.
I just had this conversation in the assessor's office not more than an hour ago. The only valuation that's ever accurate is actual purchase price. So all we can do is try to get close to that. And most of the time we're guessing at it because property is not selling. Take that for what it's worth. Do I have a recommendation from the board?
I will make a motion that all those properties are reviewed and then it can be done equally across. How long do we have to do this?
25th. Well, 25th. I don't know on this if this extends
so
or not.
So what's your rattle, John? 8 properties or not? It don't matter what it is.
There were more than that.
But I think those need reviewed to be consistent.
12 maybe. 10, 12.
And then that way we're talking fair, we're going to be fair.
At least to the Bowling Springs area, so it's more comparable to some of the other places.
If no one wants second, they don't have to.
Second.
I liked his idea.
They never listen to me. We have a motion by Adams, second by Claybaugh, to review Bowling Springs area to bring it within equalization due to a discrepancy in prices between similar properties. Discussion on this. Mr. Niederklein, what are your thoughts on that as you've gone through and done mass appraisal? What type of time frame would you be looking at to look at some of these individually and see why sales to valuation have wavered? And this one, this is a tough one for all of us because Bowling Springs is so very similar compared to other parts of town.
And, you know, I guess where I'm at, whatever you do, I can't clearly identify within the time frame, you know, that we've had why his is valued higher. I think he's made a perfect point that, and the owner prior, who I know I made a mention that if the property owner that owned this property came in, this is what how it explained. I didn't even know that was you, but I think both of these are similar, and they're both seeing a higher value than these others. And in 5 minutes, I can't evaluate the differences, but I usually can clearly identify why there's a difference. I can't clearly identify why there's a difference. You know, one option would be to, you know, postpone the conclusion on this until the next board hearing, to where we could take a stronger review. The other option is that if you feel that the property owner has met his burden of proof in showing that he's systematically overvalued compared to similarly properties to the extent that he's provided a percentage that can be acted upon. I would also say that that is the classic equalization case, and you're, you know, well within your powers to make an adjustment based on the information that's been presented by the owner today.
We do have a motion by Adams, second by Claybaugh, to send this off to review. I guess I would lean towards Derek as well, where we make an equalization adjustment today. Like I say, everybody has their own say, though. I'm one of four here. Well, you can't be. It's fine. We have a motion on the floor. But any other discussion on this? If not, I would ask you to vote on the motion. Is everyone clear on the motion at hand? All right. I would ask you to vote then. Three in favor with Tiemann voting no. Motion carries.
They'll review all of them this vote.
What good does that do me?
Well,
you raise everybody up and keep mine the same. That doesn't mean any good. Doesn't do me any good.
That doesn't necessarily mean that, though, sir. What I would ask MIPS to do is at our next hearing to bring this back and give you a little more time to look this over, because there are mobile ones that seem to be in that 8 to 10. I'm going to use real rough numbers: 8 to 10% less, 7 to 10% less than sale price being assessed at that. That way, there is time to review that. It doesn't do you any good today, but that does give them time to bring us back new numbers. So, Jens, I would ask you, how does this affect the property owners at hand? That would include Ms. Parker also. If these are adjusted, do we have them come back to the next meeting if there is a change or after this is reviewed again?
I think we have to do new board notices and then have 30 days from the board notice to protest. I think.
How do we do that without 30 days?
There is no 30
days. I don't think so.
Because you're changing everybody's assessment.
This new protest has 30 days too.
So that doesn't affect us getting things turned in?
The 25th, not on that part.
Okay.
That's separate. That can be after.
We have to have things turned in by certain dates, so I want to make sure that this doesn't interfere with any of that. But you'd have a new protest time after the evaluation. This will push us past July 25th, but that way they can look at this again.
So I have to come in and protest again?
Potentially. You may be so happy that you send us a card. But you may not be. Without us taking action today, this pushes us down longer, or it pushes it further in the calendar as far as how this will be actually valued.
That's where you're going to let it stand? Really?
The vote just now was a vote against taking action today and doing a reevaluation.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
So with this, I don't know that we've done this before. Jen and Mr. Niederklein, how do we actually take action on this with this reevaluation or review of that area? How does this actually work now?
I think in hearing the motion or the board's decision, I think what we would do is take a review of the properties that have been brought forward. But just to clarify, we'll make a recommendation, but that would still leave us the possibility on particularly the last two that have protested to come back and say, we have a revised recommendation for those two properties based on what we've reviewed in the area.
If those two property owners agree to that new recommended value, that can still be passed
within the time frame that we have.
Within our time frame.
Yeah.
So as you're reviewing that, as you get your recommendation, if you could get a hold of Mr. Simpson and also Ms. Parker and let them know if valuation recommendations change, what those are, see if they're agreeable. And then, Rex, you wanted all Flowing Springs reevaluated there.
It's equalization, and all being looked at is what under.
So they may or may not have to come in.
They
may
or may not have to come in.
And that was
right.
Mr.
That's where it is.
Right.
And that was Mr. Simpson's argument. Not just at sale, but at what is equal amongst all sales. So, like I said, there's going to be some hiccups along the way as we're reevaluating. It's good to look at it, but we've never done this, so I just wanted to make sure we do this properly.
Yeah.
You're
going to have everybody mad at us, and then we're going to have to move. Then I'm going to have to sell my place for $370,000 because that's what you said it's a stress test.
They won't be able to
think. Oh, yeah.
The, They may end up happy. It just depends on which direction the needle moves. But
I will say the goal in this effort is to get the right answer in the time frame that we have, and so that may be an equalization recommendation from our office.
You had the right answer when it was making up
this
figure. That was the right answer. That's the way it should be.
You guys listen to this.
I haven't ever heard that before.
Yeah, that part. I'm telling you, sir, they don't listen to me. But if we could expedite that as quickly as possible, I know it's not immediate, but just for everybody's sake, if we could do that as quickly as possible. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Dale Bruins is, though, he does not wish to speak, and he's stepped out.
He's out.
Randy Miller. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I am Randy Miller from 571 West Ellis Street here in town.
Would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Please begin.
I was just reading Beatrice Daily Sun from last year, wherein Assessor Patty Milligan said, anyone is welcome to come into the office to understand the process. It requires discussion, she said. Everyone needs to understand the process. That's why I'm here, to understand the process. I called out here yesterday to the assessor's office and talked to one of the ladies there. I don't know who. She was very helpful, very, very friendly, very courteous. So I'm probably not as knowledgeable and as prepared as I could be or should be. When she told me that the value of my house was $82,600, I was surprised, to say the least. So she went on to tell me that it was compared to other houses that sold in the market. So my question is what other houses? Was it compared to my house is mostly stucco, 35-year-old asphalt shingles, cracks in the basement walls, termite damage. This gentleman's got around 15 pictures. So was my house compared to a house exactly like that? Probably not.
Yeah, if that's a question for me, sir.
Okay.
What we've been able to do is compare it to properties that were as close as we possibly could find that had sold. So your question, did they have termite damage? Did they have all of those other things? The answer is no. But
the answer is, well, how can that be a fair comparison?
Well, but what we have done is compared it with properties that are in the same general category. And the reason for that is that's the best we can do, is to review it relative to sales that have happened that are in the same general category. We have your property condition rated as fair. And fair is the category for properties that have those types of things. Deferred maintenance, not necessarily structural issues, but issues that affect the market, such that when a buyer is looking at a property, they're going to say, these are things that I am going to pay less. I'm going to pay less for a property because of these issues. They're not going to equally substitute properties that don't have deferred maintenance. And so this is, we feel it fits squarely into the fair condition category. The step down from that would be poor. We didn't see anything based on those 15 pictures that would lead us to think that the house is nearly uninhabitable. So we feel that fair is the proper category for the condition. We also looked at the quality of construction, and that's how it was built at the time. And it was built, your property, we feel, is an average. The quality of construction is average for that era. So what we were able to do then is compare it to properties that were in that same condition category. And we did found three properties that were in that similar category. Not identical, but as close as we could find. And that is 1222 Lincoln Street.
Okay, go on.
1419 Grant Street.
Okay.
And 1008 Ella Street. And there are differences in that. There are differences in those properties, but again, we think that that's as close as we could find in terms of sales. Built about the same time frame.
Okay.
One was 19. Your property was built in 1910.
Yeah.
We found the first property 1931. The other property is 1910. And the third property was built in 1907, similar square footage, but the last one was notably smaller, but a similar level of fixtures, et cetera. Again, not perfectly comparable, but as close as we could find in the market. The first one sold for $100,000 in about a year ago. Another one sold recently for $80,000, and then the property that's almost half the square footage sold for $56,130, which is, of course, less than the 82, but it's about 40% less in size than your property. So based on that, when we came up with the recommendation, we made a lot of adjustments to your property listing to come up with a new recommended value of $82,000. But after we did that, we ran it through the valuation process. Comparing to sale prices of $100,000, $79,000, and $56,130, again, for a house that's smaller, it seemed that $82,000 for an assessment was a reasonable reflection of the market value. So that's how we came to that conclusion.
I see. Well, I don't agree with that at all.
I understand.
Because to pay $82,000 for a house like that in the floodplain, that's just nuts.
Yeah.
It's in the floodplain. It's got that bad roof. You got pictures. Did you take those pictures and compare it with those three houses you just gave me?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No.
Oh, you say you did?
Yeah.
You compared them?
Yeah.
You compared the age of their roof? You compared their basement walls? You were in those homes and compared those basement walls?
We weren't inside those homes, but we did an exterior review of those homes in the last 6 months. And then again, that was the best.
Were they in your home?
Or who?
Did they come and review your home?
This man did, yeah.
So you did review his walls?
Yeah, he's got around 15 pictures or something like that.
Yeah.
What roof you took into account? So fair takes into account potential termites, bad roof.
Yeah, the changes
damage.
Were made. By him bringing the protest to our attention, we were able to take a way more detailed review of your property. We made a number of adjustments. We changed the base area from 2297. That was what was listed. We changed that to 1869 square foot. The basement area, we reduced that as well from 1080 to 773. We changed the forced air furnace, or the floor furnace, to forced air furnace to make sure that was correct. And then we changed the size of the wood deck that he has. And then we made an additional adjustment for the floodplain that hadn't been recognized before.
That was my next question, is did you take into account the floodplain also?
Yeah. And the result of all of that came to the value of $82,000 and whatever it is. But additionally, by having that information correct in the assessor system going forward, your value previously had been based on square footage that wasn't there. And now by correcting it after the inspection, which was very helpful, now the property is listed correctly, not just for this year, but for going forward.
Yes.
You're showing the value of the land went to 1596 for 144 by 157 lot. And if we gave those in the floodplain the 7500, shouldn't that be reduced to 7500 to 1596?
I believe
that might be represented in the 82 cents.
Yeah, we also had a small lot adjustment there. So this may have been one that we had the floodplain recognized, but we made an adjustment for the small, the extra small size of the lot.
Well, 82,600, well, that was the recommended.
That's online, and then it still shows the original, not the recommended change.
Okay, gotcha.
What was the original value of the total, or what was the...
The original value was 100,795 is what was sent out in assessment.
Yeah,
recommendation.
Yeah. And so based on all of the adjustments, we feel it's listed correctly, and that 82,600 is the best reflection of market value that we can come up with the information that we have available.
Mr. Miller, how did you come to the value of 49,000 for a request?
Well, he said my house is in just a hair over poor condition. I really haven't had a whole lot of money to make any improvements. Hasn't been little or nothing done. There are no building permits or remodeling permits or nothing in any of your records, except for a long, long time ago, I put a new fuse box in.
But, I mean, did you base that 49 off of anything, or that's just where you feel it's valued
well,
at?
Well, it might be worth a hair over 50. It might be worth 30,000 less than 82.6. But I just have a hard time 82.6. I thought you were comparing my stucco house with old shingles and termite damage to another old stucco house with shot shingles and termite damage. I find out that's not how it works.
That kind of is how it works, though. That's actually...
You exactly. Say these houses that you just told me were, they're stucco?
Not necessarily stucco.
Do you think stucco makes your house worth far less?
It's all cracked. It was built in the early 1900s, right?
Correct.
It's all cracked.
These others were in 1931, 10, 07. So, I mean, they're comparable in age. I guess I've never thought of a stucco house as being worth less than...
Well, it all depends on the condition.
But
I don't recall how many pictures of the outside you took. I don't recall that of the stucco.
But
come by and take some more.
But, Mr. Miller, I guess what I'm saying is in the condition, so there's age, there's square footage, there's condition. Condition seems to be one of the biggest ones. And
that is my main complaint, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all right. The condition of yours being at fair, that would assume that your stucco is cracked, that your roof is bad, you may have potential termite damage. Structurally, you're sound, but not new.
Yeah.
So if your stucco was not cracked, if your roof was new, if you had updated things, you would not be in a fair classification. And if you were above fair classification, you would not be at 82,000. You'd be in the mid-hundreds.
Probably.
So, I mean, that's why that's lowers because of that fair classification. And, I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong on that from the assessor's side, but, I mean, that's one of the big things we see is condition being the
yeah,
dominant
condition,
driver.
Yes, sir. The condition is my big and my main gripe. So, I just can't see anybody in their right mind spending $82,000 for a house that needs tens upon tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of dollars more in work.
Questions, comments from the board? No comments from you all.
You could sink 100 plus thousand in my house real easy. You know what labor is and
absolutely
materials and things like that.
Just we're never going to find an exact replica of the house to be comparable, which is why we are working within the system that we have, which is taking that replacement cost new, which is the things that you described, which is, you know, what kind of roof, what kind of siding, how many square footage, and then it's depreciated based on your condition. Like you said, what is the siding cracked? Is the roof in good shape? Are there termites? And that's how you get to that comparable value, and that's how you can pull those other numbers.
The biggest difference to drop that would be to drop the rating. Below fair, what do you drop to?
Poor.
Poor, and is poor livable?
That's arguable. it's poor is that the house can be saved, but it's at the end of its useful life. It's a decision of the owner to either tear it down or fix it up. It's that level.
And we're not at that situation at all here. We're above that. It's just not.
We're in the fair category.
Okay, that was my main question there. Any action to be taken by the Board of Equalization on this home? The initial was 100,800. Requested was 49. The current recommendation is 82.6. I don't see any action from the board on this, Mr. Miller. If you don't agree with this decision of 82.6, there's a form to fill out across the hall. That would be the appeal process. It goes to TURC, which would overrule the county and the assessor's office setting the valuation of your home. If you decide to go to TURC, which is fine, if you decide to go to TURC, though, I'd recommend getting a lot of information that shows comparable, just as you said, houses like yours, that shows that your house is valued higher than the other ones, because the valuation is only being set by sales. And like you said, maybe you didn't improve it, but others sold for higher dollars. That's what sets this market. So if you do go to TURC, make sure you get everything together so that you have comparables and you can show square foot prices, things like that, of like properties that are valued valued lower than what yours is, to show that yours is valued too high.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
you
coming in.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Nolan Schaefer. How many properties are you representing today?
Just one, and it happens to be my own.
All right.
I actually have
would you give
all
your...
the ones that I represented, the only one that...
They all passed?
Yes, besides mine. So
of course. Name and address for the record.
My name is Nolan Schaefer. My address is 1230 Manchester Drive, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68528. The property address in question here is 1824 Lincoln Street here in town. The parcel ID number is 01023-00-00.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Yeah, so I'll start with that. I'm very curious to see why the recommendation was substantially higher. I thought we had kind of talked through that. You can see it's on GIS website. Dock stamp tax is paid of $556.80, which is equivalent to $240,000 purchase price back on January 29th, or end of January of this year. So not even 6 months ago, or right at about 6 months ago. So I paid $240,000 for it, and now the recommendation came in at... It was originally at $334,330. The recommendation came in at $307,000 and some change. As you can see, there's still a very big discrepancy between the $240,000 that I paid for the property. I called yesterday about some other properties, asked why it came in so much higher than what was actually the actual purchase price. They said that because it was a private sale that it gets tossed out, even though that I paid $240,000.
Private sale, did you buy this from someone you know, or is this on the market?
Arms link transaction. Carolyn Howard. First time I met her was in December when we met to discuss the property, signed the contract, and closed at the end of January. And if you want me to go into the statutes and everything here, happy to, but 77-112 says actual value, and then it goes on to define it. Actual value is the most probable price expressed in terms of money that a property will bring if exposed for sale in the open market or in an arm's length transaction between a willing buyer and willing seller, both of whom are knowledgeable concerning all of the uses of which the real property is adapted and for which the real property is capable of being used. I'm not sure if you're able to look, but Carolyn Howard owns a lot of properties here in town. She buys and sells properties all the time. I would classify her as a knowledgeable buyer and seller of property. Like I said, the first time I met Carolyn was in December of 2025, purely an arm's length transaction.
What would the difference, or why on this one would that be so much higher than purchase price? I mean, this is just a rental duplex.
Right. We made the recommendation was based on adjustments that we made to the listing of the property, you know, again, to make sure that it was in the right category. And then we looked at sales of duplexes that were as comparable as we could find to see what the general market range is. And in doing that, when we valued the property through the process and then compared it to the comparable sales, which 1901 Irving, 1305 North 17th, 1212 South 5th, 610 Market. Those were properties that were, you know, duplexes that were in the same category. There was a range in sale prices. You know, some of these, you know, there's differences in the properties, but the property that showed up as the most comparable, which was actually in a lesser condition than your property, was built in 1984, has 1,500 square feet.
Per side?
So that's
total.
Mine was built in 76, I believe, or 73. I forget.
1980.
Mine was 80? Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking it was 76, but...
And this property has basement finish. That property has no basement finish. That property sold for $300,000 in a year before you purchased yours.
You said it was how much? $300,000 the year
300,
before?
$300,000, yeah, even. Okay. And then of the other properties, although there was one that sold for $450,000, but it's a good quality. It was built to a higher standard, so that explains that difference. There was another one that sold for $260,000 2 years ago, and that property has no basement. So in looking at that, you know, we're coming up with the most probable purchase price for the property. As Mr. Schaefer mentioned, the definition of arm's length transaction and actual value in 77.112. We're also aware of the Supreme Court's recognition that while purchase price is an indication of value, it's one of many market factors that are used in establishing the most probable purchase price on the assessment date.
And I guess to rebut, yeah, I mean, there's obviously several factors that go into what the actual price is, but right here, let's see. If you go to the court case of Dowd v. Board of Equalization back in 92, you'll see where the evidence discloses that circumstances surrounding the sale and shows that it was an arm's length transaction between a seller who was not under the compulsion to sell and a buyer who was not compelled to buy should receive strong consideration, meaning that it does not completely wipe out all the other factors, but it becomes the predominant factor.
I think that's fair for that to be predominant. How much basement finish do you have on this one?
Well, since it flooded back in April and May due to the big rainstorms that we've had, one side is completely unfinished now because I had 3 inches of standing water in the basement. The other side was fortunate enough that it didn't leak too much, but I ended up having to pull out some carpet there and whatnot, so that side is half finished.
This would be for condition as of January 1st.
Condition as of January 1st, there was signs that there was coming up through the basement. We didn't realize how bad it was. Obviously, it led on to a way bigger flooding issue. But as of January 1st, half finished on one side, half finished on the other. So in the basements, just the basements. The upstairs were two bedrooms on both sides.
That one you said had no basement finish at 260. It has basement and it's just not finished, correct? Or there is no basement on that one?
There's no basement.
Is the house on slab?
Yeah.
And what's your rent, Nolan?
I don't know if that's a fair question right now because there's pipeliners in town and they will pay you anything they can get their hands on.
It is a fair question, right? Isn't that part of the equation?
No, it's not. It's based on actual value of what I paid for the property, not what I'm getting for rent on the property. That's what the statute says.
We can't chase sales, though. It works the same high and low. The job of our board is to make it equal and comparable.
Again, to your point, though, pipeliners are in town. They're trying to get out of any hotel they can possibly get out of. They get per diem stipends of $150 to $185 a day. So if you have rental properties, I will tell you right now, go find a pipeliner and they will pay you. But that is a one-year lease right now, so that they'll be gone very soon.
How much is it? Or
right now, those guys, so one side I'm getting $1,354, and that's a long-term tenant probably. It's all year-to-year lease. Right now, actually, I can actually say I'm not lying now because they just moved out because their foreman got canceled, or he got canned.
He's back.
On the job?
He's rehired.
Well, I'm going to have to recontact him.
Small towns, ladies and gentlemen.
For the 2 months that they were there, I was getting $1,850 a month from them. So, it's a very short term. I don't foresee that lasting into the future. But again, my argument still stands as I paid $244 for it less than 6 months ago. Statute says actual value at arm's length transaction. It was an arm's length transaction between me and Carolyn. As I mentioned, she's a sophisticated buyer and seller of properties. So, is there anything else that you would like to hear from me regarding the property? It had a lot of flooding issues. I don't know if that's why.
Where's this one at? I'm sorry, I didn't.
It's Caddy Corner from where the old elementary school is, where they're doing that in development over there now.
On Lincoln?
Yep. Caddy Corner from the elementary. Yep.
Oh, it's on the left side of the street there?
So it'd be on the north side of the street, east. It's the second house from the end
on the
east side there.
Question on that, I guess I always think we should be about where sale price is, but then the next thing we hear is you can't follow sale, but the only valuation is sale, so.
I will also mention this court case as well, just to help bolster my cause here, but in the Gord Association versus Cass County back in 1981, they said the board found that the actual market value of the property in question to be the same as the purchase price. So there's nothing saying that you can't put the purchase price as what the.
I remember one that we had it valued at $255 and he was mad and he bought it for $455. We couldn't place the assessed value at $455, which is what he paid for it. If you guys remember that one.
And then over here.
That was the one that he said he had to pay that because he was going to lose it otherwise.
Right. Like,
you're not helping yourself here, buddy.
We can't chase sale price. We're a board of equalization. It's got to be, you got to find comparables of equal value. And we have one.
That one at 260 that has no basement, you said that's the closest? Which one was the closest valuation?
That would be the one at 1905 Irving, and that was built in 4 years. It's 4 years newer, and the... And it sold for $300, but it's built on a slab.
When did that one sell?
October 4th of 24.
You said that one's on a slab, though, also?
Yeah. And the subject property has 1,800 square feet of basement area. And you said, as of January 1, were both basements finished? Before the flood?
It was half and half. And then now the one side is completely nothing, and then the other side is still half.
So each unit had half basement finish?
Yes.
Okay.
So, should be what it was.
I think we have listed that we only... that's what we
I'm
have.
Assuming you will have no basement finish in the other one in January then, and...
Say that again.
You probably will not refinish that other basement.
No, until I can figure out where the flooding is coming from. Correct.
Well, I'm assuming she didn't disclose that there was a problem.
Weird.
Weird.
Did that's why the price is reflected at 240.
So with that being said, does that make a difference if there is a flooding issue there?
Well, you know, certainly not as of January 1.
I will say there were signs. I mean, when I brought in people to come look at, you know, where is this flooding coming from, they could tell that there was definitely signs of it flooding before. There was work done to try to fix it. Clearly, it was not very good workmanship.
Hence, sophisticated seller.
But anyways, I think that kind of sums up probably why the purchase price was at $240.
Derek, you would think that that does not affect that for January if that is why it was sold for less money is because of issues, or this does not apply?
Well, I think it's a little challenging for rentals because, you know, as an investor, investors are buying cash flow. So they're buying an income stream. I'll agree with you that the $1,850 that you're getting on one unit is not market rent. It's above market rent.
Above market.
Sometimes we see, but I think you would agree that $1,350 with a long-term tenant, you know, would be around market rent for those. And just running some rough numbers, since we've been dealing with a lot of protests and a lot of protest of rental properties, we've been able to gather information on rents and then sale prices relative to rents. One of the additional, we didn't use it for the valuation, but we use it as a logic check, is a gross rent multiplier. We take the monthly rent, and then from the market, you can figure out what investors are paying for that income stream. And that's going to range from about 120. Right now in Beatrice, that ranges from about 120 to 100 and maybe 40 on the absolute high end. And just using... 122 is what the median gross rent multiplier is right now, and that calculates out to a value of $329,400.
Based on the $1,850 number, or based on
based on $1,350 times two. And so, the information that we've looked at suggests that. That you got a good deal on that property that wasn't listed on the open market, may have been a knowledgeable seller and a knowledgeable buyer, but based on that cash flow and what the current market's paying for that type of income stream, it appears that, you know, that puts all those indicators kind of point to around the same number, that it would be within the range of a reasonable reflection of market value.
I'm going to strongly point back to the Boyd case that says strong consideration to the actual purchase price if it is an arm's length transaction. I will give great weight to that. I think the court would too. I'm just going to keep hammering on that one.
I like purchase prices on things. I mean,
you what?
I always like purchase prices on things, and it always seems like that's where the market is on an item.
Somebody can have something undersold or oversold, though, too. Look at that place out there. What's comparable to any other sales?
If I would have paid $400,000 for that duplex, would it have been assessed at $400,000?
No, it would not.
Oh.
Okay.
It would be valued at $320,000 based on a collection of sale prices for similar types of properties.
Yep.
But I'm glad you asked.
Oh, sorry. You're talking about
that. I have a hard time believing that.
I lost it for a second. It took me a second to catch back up.
And then when you got into it further and...
I'm not sure you got
a steal after all.
Yes, I thought.
So
if I wouldn't have had the flooding issues, I probably would be like, okay, yeah, sure.
So you're
on a
action from the board.
I would make a motion to make it 275 based off the 1350 multiplier, and because we have done that in the past, but we try to run, can always go to turf.
Hold on, help me out on that one.
How is that comparable rent. Then to the other one?
What was the multiplier?
The multiplier was 122, and that puts a value, and that's using the 1350.
The rent avenue that we used to do, I know, obviously not there, but if you're getting 2700, 270 value. That's what I was basing that on.
And we're seeing the multiplier higher based on local sales, but
yeah,
he's saying the multiplier is higher.
I was going to say
I thought you said 322.
Yeah,
122 is the multiplier, which puts the value at 329,400.
329. How did you get? Did you get to 275?
Well, what we used to do is 1350 times 2 is 2700 times 10. So it's,
that's the way I used to buy them.
That's 275.
So here's what I would ask is, okay, you do that, and then you consider in the flooding is what I would ask. Is if 275 or 270, whatever that number is that you came up with, and then consider in the flooding issues that I'm having with the property. Like I said,
270 is probably fair before the flood.
But by statute, is
that a motion, though? Just
I did make a motion for it. If it gets no second, it gets no second.
Your motion was 275 or 270? 275. We have a motion by Adams to make a correction.
Mine would have been 270.
I don't know.
Let's go 270.
We have a motion by Adams to make an adjustment from 334,430. I'm sorry, from 307,735 to 270. Do we have a second?
For discussion here, that's what I would have paid, which is not. It's probably not the multiplier that you would use.
When you say for discussion, is that for discussion you'll make a second?
No second.
Okay. I'm just trying to be clear.
Well, that's what I was trying to clarify.
Motion for 270.
It dies for a lack of second. It dies for a lack of second.
Going once. Going twice. Do we have a new motion?
By statute, it's the condition as of January 1 at 12:01 a.m. So, he said it is properly assessed at 50% on each side. So, he has a very close comparable, even without a basement, with a sale. So, I think that.
Could I mention the one that sold on 617 on 125, just over by Homestead National Park for $225,000? Five Janine Inns.
Is that another similar size single-story duplex?
Just based on what I can find on it.
By the Homestead, it'd be a different.
So it'd be different area.
Economic. But
again, that's the only duplex I can find that's. When I pull open, if I just go back, I didn't go back all the way to 2024. That's outside of where I was searching for. But there's one there. And that one's sold for $225,000 on 617 of 2026. And it was built in 1970. Now it's not floating. Of course, now it's not loading. I was sitting back for the last hour and a half looking at it. I didn't write down all the details on it, but it was the closest one I could find.
Any action? People are going to jump on your motions here, Rex.
Do I?
People are going to start jumping on your motions. So that motion's off the floor. Any additional motions, any action by the board? If not, valuation will be set at 307,735. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer.
I want to buy a flooded duplex.
Usually I bite on stuff, but not this one.
I'll tell you, my apartment flooded in April, too. Yeah, it went under walls and everything else.
It would have been what?
For 3 days.
I said there were signs that flooded prior. Didn't know about it.
I would say bring that back and talk to the assessor's office for this next year, because that will affect that. At least I assume it would. If there's a flooding issue there, that will be a consideration for the next year's taxes, because that will be as of January 1st this next year.
Okay. So I just want to clarify. You guys are saying I bought $67,000 worth of equity? Is that what you're saying?
Did you pay cash or did you get an appraisal on it?
I had to go get a loan.
Did they do an appraisal?
I'm not sure. I just didn't check. I didn't ask.
You may ask if they had an appraisal on it. I'm not giving legal advice. He's a lawyer. But you might check to see if there was an appraisal done.
I mean, I thought I had a pretty good argument, but I guess not.
Thank you, Nolan.
Yep, thank you.
That brings us to the end of any. If there aren't any other folks. I did hear last time when we got to this point that Ms. Haxby wanted to read everything into record instead of listening to me. So I would ask Ms. Haxby to read the change property parcels and valuations into the record, please.
Yes, please.
We'll vote on those and then she can read the no change in.
You're going to read it?
Hold on.
Here you are.
This what I get for writing the grants? Parcel 01542100.
I'm sorry, could you read a little bit louder?
No, I've got a microphone. I'm just going to get something thrown at him pretty quick. Recommended to change to $347,245. Is that all you need on each one? Recommended? Okay. Parcel 005905. Eddie? 000. Recommended change of $592,470. 000566,5000. Recommended 239,165. 000429,000 to 77,425. 001262,9100 to 769,775. 001746,000 to 242,435. 005548,000 to 886,545. 005251,000 to 1,202,545. 002980000 to $1,106,080. 0055 18,000 to 263,330. 003279,000 to 213,400. 004593,100 to 522,015. 005751,000 to 367,750. 000444,7000 to 825,465. 000324,000 to 301,500. 005024,000 to 57,190. 0058. Holy buckets. I do. It's a whole other page.
I would ask for a motion to approve the change properties. Motion by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Adams. Discussion. Please vote.
Having a hard time hearing her. Could she repeat page two?
Five in favor. Motion carries.
I have a ruler.
No change. Saxby, please begin the no change list.
And then what's your next project after you get this
one? Oh, Rex, you are in a danger zone, sir.
Fewer than I dance in the danger.
Fewer threats, more mean.
All right. So I'm reading the value that we're not changing. Okay.
00296-1376-195, 00595-1368-275, 00090,000, 1,061,520, 00558,539, 955, 00558,800. To 596,040, 00485, 1100 to 583,440, 00086,100 to 445,125, 00481,700 to 285,015, 00367,900 to 433,840. 00042-1000 to 134,595, 011788-100 to 291,540, 012-04-5002-250-435, 014967-100 to 21,000, 011671,000 to 133,435, 01-0876-540 to 35,000, 012-771,000 to 55,000, 770, 015255,000 to 193,995, 0116-13503 to $370,110, 0130577,000 to 183,145, 0130542,00 to 1,500, 0146,77,100 to $550,315, 0139,08,000 to 81,745, 0116,11984 to 366,790, 009,003,07,000 to 181,790, 015,240,000, 251,395, 0094,677,000 to 76,220, 014,322,000 to 80,765, 013,196,000 to 84,835, 009,346,000 to 113,815.
Nobody's ever going to listen to that.
I would ask for a motion to approve the no change property.
Second.
Unless anyone would like to hear them again?
Nope.
Motion by Dorn, second by Claiborne. Axby. Please vote. If I am in favor, motion
Max,
carries.
You are in a danger zone by sitting next to him. I'm just saying.
Anything else for equalization?
That's the most behaved person in the room.
Sat by him.
If not, we will adjourn at 3:07.
I'm poking a little bit.